Okay, let's turn then in the Bible to Genesis chapter 30. I'm going to read from verse 25. Roger talked us through last week the growth of this family. Four wives, 12 kids. All kinds of problems and arguments and tensions. It's not a happy family, really. Not a happy family at all. But God is in this family. And he's going to get them where he wants them. Verse 25. After Rachel gave birth to Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, "Send me on my way so that I can go back to my own homeland. Give me my wives and children for whom I have served you, and I will be on my way. You know how much work I've done for you." But Laban said to him, "Oh," Laban is gone dewy-eyed here. He's just the poor Laban act. Don't be fooled, all right? But he's just going, "Oh, poor Laban," okay? And Laban said, "Oh, if I have found favor in your eyes, please stay. I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you." He added, "Name your wages, and I will pay them." Do you believe him? Okay, Jacob said to him, "You know how I have worked for you and how your livestock have fed under my care. The little you had before I came has increased greatly, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I have been. But now, may I do something for my own household? What shall I give you?" he asked. "Don't give me anything," Jacob replied, "but if you will do this one thing for me, I will go on tending your flocks and watching over them. Let me go through all your flocks today and remove from them every speckled or spotted sheep, every dark-colored lamb, and every spotted or speckled goat. They will be my wages, and my honesty will testify for me in the future. Whenever you check on the wages you have paid me, any goat in my possession that is not speckled or spotted, or any lamb that is not dark-colored, will be considered stolen." "Agreed," said Laban. "Let it be as you have said." All right. It looks fine, doesn't it? But that same day, Laban removed all the male goats that were streaked or spotted, and all the speckled or spotted female goats, all that had whites on them, and all the dark-colored lambs, and he placed them in the care of his sons. Then he put a three-day journey between himself and Jacob, while Jacob continued to tend the rest of Laban's flocks. In other words, Joseph is going to begin with exactly how many lambs and goats? None. Nice man, Laban. Jacob, however, took fresh-cut branches from poplar, almond, and plane trees and made white stripes on them by peeling the bark and exposing the white inner wood of the branches. Then he placed the peeled branches in all the watering troughs so that they would be directly in front of the flocks when they came to drink. And when the flocks were in heat and came to drink, they mated in front of the branches, and they bore young that were streaked or speckled or spotted. Jacob set apart the young of the flock by themselves, but made the rest face the streaked and dark-colored animals that belonged to Laban. Then he made separate flocks for himself and did not put them with Laban's animals. Whenever the stronger females were in heat, Jacob would place the branches in the troughs in front of the animals so that they would mate near the branches. But if the animals were weak, he would not place them there. So the weak animals went to Laban and the strong ones to Jacob. In this way, the man grew exceedingly prosperous and came to own large flocks and maidservants and men servants and camels and donkeys. It's an interesting story, isn't it? Jacob's been working for Laban for 14 years. He has four wives, 11 sons, and one daughter. Now, That's a lot to show for 14 years' work, but nothing else. All the sheep and goats are his father-in-law's. So at this point, you might say, you know, Jacob, time to move on. Time to move on. There's a time to move on. I'm reading this story and I'm saying, Jacob, go. This is the time to move. But he stays. You know, there's time to stay. My father was a very calm and patient man. You'll note that that particular chromosome was not dominant in his son. And he worked for a very wealthy couple of men. My dad left school at 14. Very intelligent man, but his father, my grandfather, was a violent alcoholic. And the family had, the father drank all the money. So my father had to leave school at 14 with no qualifications and go and work in the workshop of this business. But my father, being such an intelligent man, by the early 50s, he had grown to manage the business on a pittance. So the time came, he went and he interviewed for a job. I remember him, I was only very little, but I remember him going off looking very smart in his suit to catch the train to go to Nottingham for an interview with Raleigh, the cycle company, as their travelling sales rep. And he got the job. He came back and announced to his bosses that he was leaving. The bosses by this time were doing very well, because under my father's management, the business was making a lot of money. And they were spending their lives drinking tea and counting their shares on the market, just checking the Financial Times and counting their increase in wealth. It's what they did. And they realized that my father was going to leave, and he was the one making them all the money, and they were doing nothing. And they realized they were onto a good thing, and they were going to lose it. So they offered him £1,000 a year. Now, £1,000 a year in those days was a small fortune. And for my father, with no qualifications, it was an incredible amount. I went on the web, and I went on one of these sites that compares values of wages in different years to now. And according to that website, that would be the equivalent of a wage of £35,000 a year today. Not quite in the top tax bracket, but a very nice salary indeed. And my father took it and stayed and worked for them for the rest of his working life until they retired and he took over the business. And it was the right decision. But we've got a situation here where Laban has become rich because of Jacob. Now, is Jacob going to stay or is he going to leave? He is in the hands of a very bad man. And if your boss is like this, then you'll know exactly what it feels like to be working for somebody who constantly moves the goalposts. So let's take a look then, firstly, at Laban. Portrait of a lost soul. Laban could be very charming. Remember the first impression Jacob had of Laban as a very nice man. His mum had after all said, "You go away, Jacob. Run away because your brother's going to kill you. So you go and you go to Uncle Laban. He's a nice man. He's a good man. He'll look after you." And indeed, you know, evil men can be charming. Don't be fooled by charm. Don't be fooled by charm. Laban, on a good day, could charm the birds down out of the trees. And Laban would be charming until the day you stopped him getting something that he wanted. And then you would see the other side of him. People are like that. They're all over you. And they're full of how good you are and how great you are. Until you say no to them, until you stand up to them, until you stop them getting something they want, and then they can turn on you with vicious anger and cruelty. So don't be fooled by Laban's charm. This is a lost soul. This man is lost. This man is hell bound. This man is on the moral and spiritual slide. He's spiritual, but he's not godly. Let's get this straight. He's a very spiritual man, but he is not godly. You'll find men like Laban with rosary beads on their desk. You'll find mafia bosses at mass. They're spiritual, but they're not godly. What he says here, Jacob, I've learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. Okay, he's a spiritist. He's consulting evil spirits. He's consulting demons. And even, I mean, Jacob is so good that even the demons say, it's because of Jacob you're rich. Because Laban can't understand why suddenly his shares in the company have gone up. Can't understand suddenly why he's got all this property and all the wealth is just piling in his bank account is overflowing. He's been asked to join the Rotary Club. He's been headhunted by the Freemasons, and they're all asking because he's becoming so rich. Yeah. So he consults the demons, and the demons say, "Oh, it's because of your son-in-law, Jacob. The God of his fathers is blessing you because of your son-in-law, Jacob." You know. Laban is being blessed by God, but not because he's a good man, not because he's spiritual, but because his son-in-law is Jacob. The spirits in this case are telling him the truth. We're going to meet up with Laban's household gods again later on in the story in a few weeks' time after Easter. And you're saying, isn't Laban supposed to be a monotheist? Isn't he supposed to be a worshipper of the one true God? Well, he's supposed to be. But Laban likes to keep all the gods happy, you know? So he'll be a worshipper of God when it suits him. He'll be in church on a Sunday if it suits him. But he'll be consulting spirits on another day. He'll consult anything he thinks will help him win the lottery of life. Later on, we're going to see Laban has a genuine encounter with God. God meets him in a dream and speaks to him. And he recognizes that God has spoken to him. Does it make him a better man? It'll never make him a better man. Men like Laban are on the slide. They are lost souls. And no matter what their circumstances might appear to be, these men, no matter how many encounters they have with God, it will never change the destiny of their soul. And I'm saying, Jacob, get out of there. That's right. My gut feeling is, Jacob, just run. Get out while you can. He's spiritual, but not godly. He's clever, but he's not honest. The word sincerity is not one that you would associate with Laban, is it? He will do anything he can. He has no moral standard whatsoever. He serves only himself. He thinks he'll be blessed by being clever. And he thinks he'll be blessed because he's thought of a clever plan to cheat Jacob. It backfires, of course. When Jacob says, I hope you pick that up in the story, Jacob says, well, look, just give me the speckled, the dark-coloured sheep and goats, and that'll be my wages, and I'll start with that. So Laban says, no problem at all, and immediately takes them all away, 3 days away, so Jacob can't get his hands on them. Jacob has to start from scratch again. The trouble is, when you've got a boss like that, they'll often involve you in their schemes, so be careful. They can be charming, they can appear spiritual, but if they've got some kind of underhand scheme going, sooner or later they'll try and involve you, and they'll blame you for it. Get out of there. And I want to say, Jacob, just get out of there before this man gets you into deep trouble. So he's clever, but he's not honest. He's spiritual, but he's not godly. He's successful, but he's not good. Now, you'd have thought, wait a minute, you know, your daughters, Leah and Rachel, have given you 12 grandchildren. Well, they and their slave daughters. We won't go into that here. It doesn't fit in our culture at all, does it? But you've got 12 grandchildren here. You know, are you not a happy man? Well, no, because it was his daughters. I mean, only the sons count in Laban's family. You know, the daughters are just a bit of a burden, you know. Of course, their son, their husband is very useful. But the daughters he can take or leave, really. It's the sons he really cares about. And he said, Laban, you know, these are your grandchildren. Don't you want your grandchildren to be happy and prosperous? And I can just imagine Laban, he's surrounded by the grandchildren around him, and he says, I love my grandchildren. He says, you've had one biscuit already, get your hands out, you know. He loves his family, but he won't hesitate to use them as slave labor. And you want to say, Jacob, he's going to use you. This man is going to use you. He's going to bleed you dry. There are bosses like that, aren't there? Have you ever met a boss like that? Suck you dry. Suck the soul out of you. Jacob, get out of there. The words that came to my mind were, run, Forrest, run, you know? Now, here's the problem, you see. Look at it this way. When Jacob stays, if he stops being blessed by God, then Laban will turn on him because he's not making a profit. But if Jacob does start doing very well, then Laban will turn against him because he'll be jealous and use him even more. There's no way Jacob's going to win from this. Run, Jacob, run. But he stays for another 6 years. And you want to say, Jacob, your father-in-law is a lost soul. This man has a heart so hardened against God that nothing but the threat of God's mighty hand will stop him doing anything. Fortunately, that will stop him doing something, as we shall see later in the story. But when Laban has a real encounter with God, it doesn't do him much good. Laban is a lost soul. Don't be fooled by the spirituality. Don't be fooled by the charm. Don't be fooled by the wealth and by the bling. Don't be fooled by the business contacts and by the position in society that he's achieving. Don't be fooled by any of that. This man is a lost soul. He's spiritually and morally on the slide, and as far as I know, he's going to stay that way until the day he dies. Now, you compare him with Jacob. Note the change in Jacob. Jacob has become hard-working. Do you remember him when we first met him? A mummy's boy, sat around the fire all day crocheting blankets for his pet kittens. Remember him? He's turned into a hard-working farmer. He's weathered, he's calloused, he's strong, he's tough, he's an outdoors man, he's not as hairy as his brother, but he's still an outdoors man like his brother. He has changed, because this is a man who is being, this is a soul that's being saved. Father-in-law, a soul being lost. Jacob, a soul being saved. And the first change we note in him, he's become a hard working man. Puts his wheel to the grindstone. That's not right at all, is it? I don't know what I'm trying to say. Preach your own sermon for a few minutes there and come back to me when you're ready. He's become a hard working man. He's a soul being saved. He's got a work ethic now. His salvation is giving him a work ethic. He'll get a full day's work for a full day's pay from this man. Because he's a soul being saved. He's become independent. Do you remember when we first met him? He depended on his mummy for everything. And when his mummy cooks up a really bad scheme, he joins it. She says, upon my head be it. Just do as you're told, Jacob. He's a grown man at this point, but no. Do what mummy says. He's taking his own decisions. He's not very good at them yet, I have to tell you. But at least he's trying now. He must have, you say, Jacob, can't you see this man's going to cheat you? Even Jacob's a tricky character. Even he can't see it coming when Laban's involved. But he's beginning to think about going back home. He's been told his descendants are going to inherit that land, and he's got to go back, you know. But he's beginning to become independent. He's hardworking, he's independent, and he's become patient man. Again, the word patience and Jacob are not two words you would have associated with each other when he was young. But he's become patient. And, okay, Laban has taken all the speckled goats, lambs, blah, 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 taken, all right. Does Jacob panic? Does he scream blue murder? Well, he might have screamed blue murder. But what does he do? He starts to build from nothing again. Okay. I'm down there, but I'm going to build. I'm going to do it in God's time. He doesn't throw a hissy fit, puts his head down, and he works his socks off for another 6 years. It's a lesson in spiritual maturity. In the long term, God will see me through by faithfulness to him and a hard work. And you had this long thing about, did you understand this? Some of you are science students, so you've got PhDs in science. Does it make any sense to you about the fresh cut branches of popular almond and plane trees made with white stripes? He puts them in front of the animals when they're mating and suddenly they all come out speckled. I cannot see. No, we've got a professional scientist shaking his head. I'm glad about that because I can't see any sense in it either. Because the truth is it's not that which does it. It's God. You know? And the first crop of lambs, you know, the strong ones are all speckled. And the weak ones are white. So Laban, here you can have the white ones. Here you are. And then he has the healthy ones. And they're all producing twins. They're all producing triplets. A friend of mine could be preaching here in a few months' time. And I hope, I haven't quite confirmed it yet. Their center, is Christian center, looks down on a valley. And they were led by God in prayer to look down that valley and bless it. They just blessed that valley. Yeah? Bless this valley. And then all the farmers began saying, we've had an incredible year. All our lambs have had twins, you know. And they're all the lambs are healthy. We've had the most fantastic year. And they said, yes. That's kind of what's happening. In Brazil, I got friendly with a man who worked for the Brazilian Agricultural Advisory Service. And he, great guy, we got talking. He was talking about his experience. He said when he was training, he went to a farm, and there was this farmer there who had the cattle ranch and everything. And he had an orchard there with nice orange trees. He said, oh, those are nice orange trees. And that farmer said, yes, I've got a secret. I'll tell you my secret. Oh, come and tell me a secret. He said, you get your orchard, all right? And you bury old shoes in the orchard. And look, it's great. And my friend said, yeah, do you know? My friend was good. This guy's good. He said, yeah, do you know? Old shoes, that's a very good thing to do. That's great. But what you could do as well, you could get the manure from the cattle corral and put that there as well as the old shoes. That would be good as well. that would really work. Either way, verse 43, we have the comparison, we have the results. Verse 43 says this of Jacob: in this way, Jacob grew exceedingly prosperous, came to own large flocks and maidservants and men servants and camels and donkeys. And he drove a four-wheel drive pickup, and they had Land Rovers I don't know, make up your own story there, preach your own sermon, whatever. God has blessed you. The contrast between these two men. Jacob has become wealthy, just like Laban. But there's a difference. Jacob is a soul being saved. Laban is a soul being lost. Laban is on the slide spiritually, and his life is going to end in judgment and in separation from God. And Laban is going to walk with God. He's got a few lessons to learn yet, by the way. He's 20 years older and wiser than when he first arrived. But he's in grave danger. Jacob is honouring God with his honesty, his hard work and his intelligence, but the clock is ticking. He's decided to stay, and now it's impossible to get out. Or is it impossible? Are things impossible with God? Well, we'll find that out next week. Band, would you please join me on the platform and let's pray. Father, they're charming, they're spiritual, but they're lost. In their heart, they're self-serving, and they won't hesitate to use and abuse those under them. They won't hesitate to move the goalposts if they think they're losing out. And Lord, we pray that you give us the spirit that Jacob began to learn, hard-working, honest, patient. Father, we pray that you prosper us in our own way, that you give us your grace to walk in your path and follow your ways. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.